Many of you know that I went to major seminary at a school in southern Indiana called St. Meinrad. And the school is named after a Benedictine monk who was a hermit in modern-day Switzerland. And St. Meinrad, as I said, living as a hermit in a pretty rural area, is near a village where a few of the villagers would kind of help provide for his means while living out by himself. Had many different visitors come to him for spiritual advice, prayers, and whatnot. He also had many different visions. And in one of those visions, he was told that two visitors would come and would murder him. But despite having been warned about these visitors, when they came, he welcomed them. They had come expecting to find treasures. They had heard about treasures that he had, probably having heard about reliquaries that he had, that often reliquaries are decorated with gold and silver and jewels and that sort of thing. And they thought they would find all sorts of treasures there. When he welcomed them, he provided much hospitality. He provided food and water for them, a place to stay, and he told them, "When you have done what you have come to do, after you have killed me, I have one request," he said. "Please light two candles for me." Well, this, of course, kind of freaked the thieves a bit, realizing that this monk knew that he was going to be, that they were coming to kill him. Well, they ended up killing him, of course. And they looked for treasures, but found none. But they thought, well, he requested that we do this one thing, so we'll do it. And so they found two candles, and they left one by his head, and they went to take the other candle to his chapel, hoping to light that candle and then bring the light to the other one. Well, they got the light, and they came back out, and they found the candle they left behind already lit by itself. Well, as you can expect, that freaked them out even more, and they went running out into the woods. Now, St. Meinrad had two ravens that he kind of kept as pets, feeding them and keeping them company. And these ravens began making just a huge ruckus in the woods. If you've ever heard ravens, even one, they can make a pretty big ruckus. And so they were cawing and making a big noise. And the villagers heard it. They realized that these were St. Meinrad's ravens. And so they knew something was wrong. And they came, they found these two suspicious-looking men. They arrested them. And they found St. Meinrad having been killed. And they began immediately referring to him as the martyr of hospitality. Once they found out what had happened, they realized that he still welcomed his murderers, to his home. As I said, St. Meinrad was a Benedictine monk, and the Benedictines also have a big tradition of hospitality, welcoming the stranger, welcoming those who come, whatever their needs might be, to be able to help them. Benedictines, the Saint Benedict made he wrote his rules that kind of govern how the Benedictines run their life. And part of that says that all visitors are to be welcomed as Christ to that place. This focus on hospitality. And so we as Christians are also taught about the importance of hospitality, helping those who might come to us in need, whatever their needs might be. But it's not just about having that hospitality. It's also about having that humility, to be able to listen, to be able to be with those people. We also hear in the readings today about the importance of having hospitality for Christ, for God to come into our lives. And that not just, again, hospitality for the sake of hospitality, but to have that humility to be able to listen to what God wants to tell us. And so be able to learn from that, to be able to grow in holiness. So both of our readings really, both the first reading, excuse me, and the gospel talk about that importance of that hospitality, but also humility. We see how Abraham sees these three visitors coming from afar. And if you paid attention to the very beginning of the reading, you'll realize that these three visitors were actually God. God himself appeared to Abraham. And scholars have figured that the reason why there was three is because this was the Holy Trinity coming in human form to come and speak to Abraham. And so Abraham, maybe he knew that it was God. Maybe he just knew that something was special about these visitors. But he welcomes them into his home. He provides, allows them a chance to be able to rest, to sit in the shade of a tree, to be able to have water, to wash their feet, to be able to have food for the journey that they were on. And he waits on them. But he also, in humility, listens to God. He listens to what is said. And he finds out that he will have a son, a long-awaited son, within a year. And then we come to the gospel. And we also see Martha and Mary welcoming God himself, God, Jesus, the Son of God. They welcome him to their home. And again, not only are they showing that hospitality, and who knows exactly how much they knew about Jesus. Maybe they realized he was the Son of God. Maybe they realized how important he was, whatever it was. But we see how they listen to him. Bishop Robert Barron, who some of you may have heard of before, he's a very well-known speaker and writer. He's also most recently been chosen as the new bishop of Winona, Rochester, in the southern part of our state. Bishop Robert Barron once gave a talk about how the story of Martha and Mary is often misunderstood. A lot of people hear this story and they conclude that where Martha went wrong was that she was working too much. That she was doing too much of running around taking care of the house. And that Mary has the better part because she was just sitting and listening. And so people often conclude that it's somehow better to be just sitting in prayer rather than to be doing any kind of even necessary work. But Bishop Barron points out that really it's not about the jobs that they were doing. If they were to switch places and they did the other's jobs, if Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus and Mary was running around doing all sorts of housework, Mary would still have chosen the better part. Because you can imagine if they had the same kind of attitude, Martha would instead be telling Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care that my sister is running around here like a chicken with her head cut off, going around, doing all these different things, carrying around the house? Tell her to sit down and listen to you." And how often do we do that in our prayers, especially when we're praying for someone else and maybe a member of the family that we're frustrated about or really concerned about? And we say, "Lord, don't you care? Won't you get my children to come to church with me? Won't you tell my spouse to do this? Won't you tell different things, people to do this and that?" We think we know best. And so just like Martha, we try to tell God what to do. That's the problem. Martha was trying to tell God what to do, tell Jesus what to do. There's always a time and a place to be able to do some work. There's also a time and a place and time to be able to pray. But to be able to focus on what it is that Jesus is telling us. To have that humility to listen to him. To take his advice, his love, his guidance. When we can do that, brothers and sisters, that is when we will grow in holiness. Understand what it is that he wants for all of us.